Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store and Lowe's.com for details.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Really good episode today. I interview a top man, Mark Hockman from Prop Store. And what it's all about is the fact that Prop Store have got a huge auction coming up. It's not just Oasis stuff. They'll be auctioning over 1,800 unique and original items in one of the world's largest ever auctions of film and TV memorabilia. So that is from the 14th to the 17th of November of this year, 2024. Online bidding is open now, 15th of October, 2024. And you can register and for online bidding at propstore.com. And if you go to the show notes, I will be dropping the link there so you can go and check it out. And we talk about it in the episode. There is some amazing stuff in there. Obviously, there's guitars there that are like six figures, you know, a bit outside of most people's price ranges. But, you know, some really cool items as well. There's handwritten lyrics. There's like, you know, the Noel Gallagher Yorkshire tea teapot. You know, there's some really good stuff. But yeah, and so yeah, definitely go and check it out. I might actually try and get down there in November when they do the Oasis bidding, just to be there in the room, because how amazing would that be? But anyway, but yeah, it was a really great day. You'll be able to hear the audio here, and then also check out the Instagram and YouTube for the podcast, because I'll be uploading. We took some videos and some photos as well, so they will be available as well. So I hope you enjoy that. And then if you want to see these guitars as well, I'm recording this on Monday night, or the 14th of October. This coming weekend, from the 18th to 20th, there is another Together We'll Fly exhibition. So this one's in London at the Cumberland Hotel. So if you come on down, the Prop Store guitars, Noel Gallagher's guitars, will be on display, as well as, you know, all Kyle's collection, which is really, really great. So come on down. I will be there on the Friday. So I think that it's open all day from 11, I think, but the official launch party is from 5. So I'll be there a bit before 5, and I'll hopefully be doing some stuff on the stage as well. I haven't quite confirmed that yet. But yeah, there's going to be loads of stuff on. There's a couple of bands on, including Jess Greenfield with her new band, you know, Jess from Noel's band, who's been in the podcast. There's a Radio X DJ. Yeah, John Robb's doing a couple of interviews. I think Tony McCarroll, Brian Cannon. You know, it's going to be absolutely brilliant. So get on down there if you can. I'll put the link in the description for tickets for that. And yeah, I know already there's a lot of Oasis podcast gang going as well. So it should be a really, really great weekend. But I say I'll be there the Friday evening from kind of 5 o'clock onwards. And I think if I'm going to do something on stage, it'll probably be pretty early, 5, 5:15. So if you are getting down there and want to see me, then get down there early. There are some news bits to cover, but I think we'll cover that after the interview. So let's cross over now to my interview with Mark Hockman from Prop Store. All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. I'm very excited to be here at Prop Store HQ with Mark Hockman. How you doing, man?
Very good. Lovely to meet you. And can't wait to show you what we've got.
It's very, very exciting. So how long have you worked in like music memorabilia? What's your background?
My background is I started with posters. Well, actually, I didn't. I started with comics. Years and years ago, I used to do part of the comic book price guide for the UK. And it was comics were my first love, which led to films, which led to posters, which led to music.
Fantastic.
Always loved my music. And luckily enough, now that certainly for the past 16 years, it's been a full-time job for me.
Fantastic. And so what about you in terms of your music? What was your music growing up?
My music growing up was very 80s. A huge fan of the late Meatloaf. I remember sitting on the back of the school coach and somebody had one of the little tape players at the time, put Bat Out of Hell on. I was hooked. Went to see him loads and loads of times. And yeah, just... he's my favourite artist. A few other ones. Sacrilege, I know, for the podcast. I was not a fan of Liam and Noel and Oasis during the heyday of the 90s. But I think it's a testament that the quality of what they put out has lived and now has reached the proportions and the popularity that it is now. Now, I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
And appreciate... Do you know what they've done and what they've put together? And I do think, you know, it's everybody says, oh, Noel's the genius and everything behind it. But without the spark that was Liam, I don't think Noel, there wouldn't be an Oasis.
No.
I think is that synergy that just has driven it. And as I say now, I think they're brilliant. I think some of the tunes... And the records are not only going to stand the test of time, but they're real classics.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's
absolute classics.
I think it's often what you were into, and then when Oasis hit, because I do understand it. I was 14 when the first album came out, and so you know that to me was like, you know, like people talk about like punk day one when they first got into punk or whatever. It was like, oh, suddenly my life's changed. So that was it for me. But I completely understand some of the previous generation. Oh, it's just a T-Rex ripoff, or that's just a Beatles or a Slade ripoff or whatever. So I do get it. But yeah, it is. It's funny now when you where it has come to now. And obviously we've had the reunion and everything. So that's So there's been a huge sort of surge in popularity since. Have you sort of seen that from your side of it?
Very, very much so. I mean, there were always. Because of some of our consigners and obviously some of the people I know and some of the people we deal with, we always knew a reunion was probably in the offing.
Really?
From the sort of like the end of last year. There were talks going on in the background. But it was hot and cold. One time you'll speak to somebody and they'll say, yeah, expect the announcement next couple of weeks. No, it's not going to happen. They've disagreed. It was... So we've been told there were ongoing talks for a long, long time. And then I spoke to somebody and they said, yeah, announcement September.
Excellent.
They're going to be getting back here. And then, but they did say, to cover them, it may come a bit early.
Yeah.
And then, of course, end of August, the landscape for Oasis sort of changed. And I think, in a way, I know there's huge amounts of money involved.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that, they're doing it to give something back to the fans.
Yeah.
Because the clamour has been, you know, come on, guys. You're not getting any younger and neither are we.
Well, it's like Matt Healy from 1975 said, like, what are you doing? Like, you could be in the best band in the world. Just you're in a mard with your brother.
Yeah.
If you could just get over it, you could be doing.
Yeah.
You could change the world, right? And change people's lives, but they're just choosing not to. So, yeah, I think obviously they're not going to do it for a... packet of cigs and a half a pint, but no, they're gonna charge a few quid for it. But I think it is down to the fact that, all right, look, why not? What reason why not to do it?
And will this be? Is 2025 going to be the only ones they do? No one's given any thought, and they certainly haven't come out and said that, you know, we're reforming and this we're going to be doing new music. We're going to be going ahead. 2025 is just the start. At this stage, no one really knows.
No.
Is it just going to be this one-off reunion? Personally, I don't think it is. I think this is now going to be... Oasis could be the new Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That when Liam and Noel are in their 80s, they'll still be fighting and arguing with Zimmer frames and wheelchairs. But I think they could still be together.
Yeah.
I really, really do think that. And I hope... I've never met either of them. But I do hope to one day. But I hope this does bring them closer together.
Sure.
And I do... As I say, I think if they wouldn't have got together, they would have really regretted it.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I've said for years when people ask me the question, obviously, like, do you think they'll get back together? And the one thing I always said, which is quite sad, is it will probably be if the mum dies. Mm. Because, you know, that was when the Stone Roses got back together, yeah. Was Manny's mum died. Yeah. And then so they all came back together at the funeral and then sort of, you know, I think something that tragic, obviously, yeah. You can put other things to side. But yeah, so I'm actually really pleased. It wasn't, you know, the mum's still, you know, around and able to see it, which I think is really lovely. So yeah. So yeah, but no, I agree. I think it is interesting. It could just be a one-year thing and then off they go back to their own solo projects, but I can't see it. I think if they're happy and they're getting on, you know, I think Noel had his sort of, you know, 10-plus years being centre stage. And now I think he thinks, all right, that's fine. You know, I've sort of proved I can be centre stage. But, yeah, it is exciting.
It's super exciting. It's and it's done an awful... When our first auction, we're on a third auction now. The first one we did, we had some incredible Oasis stuff in. And nobody had really done an Oasis auction before.
Right.
Nobody had had Noel's handwritten lyrics. They didn't know the story behind them. They didn't know about the tambourines. We had Liam's Parker from Finsbury Park. It was very much, well, they are still the biggest band pretty much in the world. And I'm going, this was before they decided to reform.
Yeah.
Since then, and, you know, there's people who, fans of Green Day, The Killers, Kings of Leon. Yeah, great bands, some great music, but they're not Oasis.
No.
And they've been, since they did, split, there's just been a void.
Yeah.
And there's also that void in, obviously for us, the memorabilia.
Yeah.
So when we put that auction on and we saw the response, it was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, we set a world record price, and it still is, for some handwritten lyrics for Wonderwall at just under £50,000 they sold for. Nobody, including us, has got close to that price again. I mean, I think the last ones we sold were 15,000-16,000.
Okay. And was that Oasis again?
That was Oasis again. That was Wonderwall again. But that's a different set because of the story. Noel's constantly, one of his ways to relax is writing out lyrics. So, yeah, it's... And that was interesting. That was an eye-opener when we started to research the lyrics, just how many sets there are out there. All obviously slightly different because they're all handwritten. But, again, very, very interesting from our point of view.
Yeah.
And we sort of, with last year's auction, because we had such a success with Oasis, it was an area that we wanted to pursue because no one else was doing it. And B, we were offered an awful lot of stuff based on the success of the first auction.
Right.
So it's now become that Prop Store Music is the go-to auction house for Oasis.
Okay.
Which is great. And I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do get offered some outstanding pieces. And I think this year, I think it's probably the best we've had.
Yeah.
Certainly in terms of the guitar collection we've got, the lyrics. I do love some of the early posters.
Yeah.
And particularly they came from somebody who worked for the record label, obviously had first hand rights to snag these up. And they don't come across in this condition. They're you know, they are super rare.
Well, that's the thing. If you're just like a little unsigned band or only just signed to Creation, no one knew these were going to be special or important. No. I mean, Is anyone really going up collecting up all the posters from every gig at the Camden Barfly or whatever? No, they just go in the bin, don't they? So yeah, it's really lucky if someone did catch them. I always thought it was crazily lucky, and some people think, you know, it's a bit of a setup, that they happened to film, that there happened to be a Japanese tourist there filming Oasis playing at that gig in King Tut, because it's like, well, hold on, really? You know, I did a lot of crappy gigs at crappy venues and I was in a band, and you didn't have Japanese tourists walk in and just happen to record them.
The Japanese, I've seen that video, and I've got the background story on it, and they were there to see the other group on the night, which was
18 Wheeler.
They were there for them, because Oasis weren't even on the bill.
No.
And it was literally that 10 minutes that they shot was by pure chance. It was just there with they were just there and they filmed it.
That is just so lucky, isn't it?
And it is so bizarre. I mean, it's very... Tim won't mind me mentioning it, but we had part of the Tim Abbott collection last year, obviously managing director of Creation Records. And he said that as soon as they got the demo tape, you know, and Tim was dealing with Primal Scream, Fatboy Slim, they sort of like the whole office heard, because it was a very small sort of like compact office where they were, you know, put the demo tape on and this is special,
yeah,
you know. And I heard that tape and the quality of it, you wouldn't have thought that, you know, this is a band of just sort of like, so it was almost like studio quality straight away. As Tim has said, that a lot of the big songs Noel had already written. You know, these were in his archive, his mind, and in his little book before they'd even got signed.
Yeah, he was ready to go.
Noel was sort of, you know, Noel needed was the packaging. And the promotion, because it was done. And they got, you know, talking with Tim, you can't believe the amount of time the record companies had turned them down.
Well, it was a good few years, wasn't it? You know, it was 91 to 94, 93 when McGee signed them.
And that was the thing. It was a case of, and yet Tim said, as soon as we heard it, you know, as soon as we heard Liam's voice, it was, and as Tim said, it was more Liam's voice than, it just hooked you. And then you started listening to the songs and, you know, the music and, fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Well, should we talk about some of these items then?
Yeah,
so when's the auction happening then?
The auction, we've got a big four-day auction, which is starts on November the 14th. The music is the 15th, which is the second live day, and it's held at BAFTA, which is 195 Piccadilly.
Wow.
We've got just under 400 items, of which over 60 are Oasis. So, again, an incredible Oasis collection, part of which is the largest collection of Noel Gallagher guitars to ever come to market. We've got 15 of those. It's 15. 15 of those, I lose track. Which does include Noel's famous Silver Sparkle.
Sure.
Noel's first custom-made guitar was done to his spec by Gibson. And Noel has... We do see a lot of Noel's guitars.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of them out there. And he does, you know, he does love a guitar.
Yeah.
But this is really special.
Wow.
It was made to his exact spec by Gibson, and not only does it sound incredible, but it looks incredible, the body.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do pick it up, the weight, it's really, really heavy. And it's just such a fantastic piece. And we've got very, very high hopes for it in terms of, I'd say, it's on record as Noel describing it as not just a good guitar, it's the best guitar ever, the best guitar in the world.
See, and I'm not a guitar nerd at all, really, but just little things like, oh, it's got the little U sticker on it. And I sort of didn't know if that was something that was part of the guitar. It's only reading up on the auction stuff. No, that's an Underworld sticker from when they played with Underworld. He's just stuck it on there.
Noel has just stuck it on there. And I think, again, Noel says one of his big influences was Steve Jones and Sex Pistols.
Yeah, yeah.
He still does, but he customises his guitars with these stickers.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that Noel has probably put that on there and thinking, Steve Jones does
that. But that's the thing, it's funny, isn't it? Because you could imagine, like, whoever owned it previously would say, oh, take that sticker off. No, leave it. That's like, you know, if Noel put it on there, you leave it. I've got a mate of mine when they did replica Mark Knopfler guitars.
Yeah.
And, they did, like, I don't know, 100 replicas of Mark Knopfler's guitar. And they got it down to the minutiae. So even little bits of tape and even little bit. And then you look at it and you think, oh, pull that bit of tape off. No, that's exactly, made it 100% how...
They do. It's interesting that there are several special edition Noel guitars that have been released over the years. Epiphone have done some, Gibson have done some, Fender have done some. And you're exactly right in what you say. They almost match it to the original guitar.
Yeah.
And again, they're not cheap. These limited editions are incredible. And they are becoming more and more collectible in their own right, even if they've not been played by an artist.
Yeah.
And that's just across the board.
Yeah. But obviously the exciting thing here is this was physically played on stage.
Oh,
you have the images of it.
On stage, also when they're recording Be Here Now, it was Saturday Night Live when they did the US.
Ladies and gentlemen, Oasis.
There's full photos, full... There's, of all of Noel's guitars, even allowing for the Union Jack one, this has had the most press.
Yeah.
The Silver Sparkle has had the most press. And it's there's everything on it. There's videos. And our team here of what we call screen and photo matched it. So it's been... You can see where there's a couple of little nicks or marks on it, scuffs. That has been matched exactly to videos and photographs.
Wow, okay.
So we don't just take someone's word for it. We do actually...
Yeah.
We look into the history, we look into the background.
Yeah.
And,
This is the one.
This is a one-off. And it's also... Yes, it's the most expensive one in there at £200,000 to £400,000 starting price. But a real favourite of mine is... this Hohner JT60.
Yeah.
And this is actually from when Noel played it in 1992. And it is recorded as most likely the very first guitar he picked up and played as Oasis.
Right, okay.
So historically, very, very important. And when you actually compare the size to the Silver Sparkle...
Yeah.
It's weird that... The first guitar is almost identical in size to the Silver Sparkle. So Noel obviously has got an affinity for these
that
type
particular
of,
size.
This particular size. And
you've never seen him with like the big Rickenbackers like George Harrison played?
Not normally. And as I say, this is my personal favourite. And with this particular one, it is signed on the reverse by Noel.
Wow.
There's 14... guitars in the sale, which again have been at one time have all been owned and used by Noel, and this one is part of an extensive collection that Noel has actually signed the stock on the reverse. So again, super special because Noel's not just played it, he signed it, this is the first guitar he ever used with Oasis.
Wow. So actually, if you think that is historically, that's probably the more important, but it's obviously
for a different reason.
As a historian, it's not going to have the same hanging up recognition factor, maybe.
No.
But for the actual historians,
And also, I know it's a hell of a lot of money, like $25,000 as a starting point, but I actually do think that that's quite undervalued and good value for money. As I say, it's a It's a super piece.
Yeah. And what I love as well is these, and it, I saw it because I was at the prop store. I was at the Together We'll Fly exhibition in Manchester.
We must have met there.
Possibly. I don't think we met. I was only there on the Sunday because my mate Kyle runs Business
Suite. Yeah, yeah, Kyle.
You know Kyle.
Yeah. Well, we're doing...
Because we're doing London, so I'll be down there. I'm going to be there Friday night for the launch party. I'll be doing a bit on the stage then.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I'll see you again then.
We'll see you there. But yeah, I mean, what I was saying when I reviewed the Together We'll Fly, what I really love... is all the little things like the like we're saying, like the Underworld sticker, like the case here with like Oasis spray painted on it, the fact it's got a Strokes sticker, you know, the fact they've got little, you know, because that to me, that's like you know, real, that's sort of the tangible, you can almost smell the cigarette smoke, you know what I mean?
The thing is, I think with a lot of these, they weren't just played by Noel.
Yeah.
You know, we had some which he gave one to Johnny Marr and then Johnny Marr gave it back to him.
So you've got that extra level,
you know, you've got an, and then you do wonder, well, who else has picked these up and played them?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got photographs illustrating some of the guitars, whereby it is almost like a sea of guitars at Abbey Road.
Yeah. Oh, when they're all racked up on the B here now and things.
They're all Noel's guitars.
Yeah.
And Noel would just pick up the one he felt was the most appropriate to use on a certain section of the song or for a certain piece of music. And it does seem strange when you know, you can't imagine Keith Richards doing that. You can't imagine Eric Clapton doing that. But, you know, Noel just...
He wasn't precious, was he? He was like, this feels right for this moment.
And I think it goes to show actually what a good musician he is.
Yeah.
Because he can just pick something up and... He just makes it play. He just makes it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. It was part of Tim Abbott's, I think it was in Supersonic, where Noel's sitting on a beat up sofa with an old guitar, just composing Champagne Supernova.
I know what you mean.
And, you know, he's just doing it. You've got 8 to 10 minutes of Noel, and it's just Noel.
Yeah.
And obviously the person filming him, but he's. It's just going through champagne. And fantastic.
Incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible. And, of course, complementing a lot of the guitars was, again, photographs we've used for reference for some of the Oasis is the images of Jill Fermanowski.
Yeah.
And I think she's synonymous
with Oasis.
With Oasis. And speaking to Jill, I don't think anybody could have captured...
No.
Just what these guys are about better than her. She a real link with them.
Yeah.
And we're delighted that, you know, we're featuring some of Jill's prints in the sale, but also from her company Rock Archive.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's others other than Oasis, but the Oasis ones really do sing. They're absolutely fantastic.
It is. I mean, it is incredible, isn't it? And it's funny that, like you said, like when you compare it to all these other bands, that have got these, you know, I'm sure that there's thousands of people with emotional connections to, like you said, The Killers or The Cure or whatever band it is. But yet there is something intangible about that band at that moment that just has taken people's lives over. You know, the amount of people that I know that have got like shrines to Oasis and would not be a music collector for anything else, but they have got their sign, they go and buy like through Kyle's, you know, Kyle's company and Kyle's groups, they're buying their handwritten lyrics, they're buying this, you know, I don't know if there's, do Green Day have that? I suppose they must do, but I suppose Oasis is just a different level.
I think in terms of the memorabilia, well, I could have quite easily done an Oasis auction on its own, which would have been over 100 lots of just Oasis.
Yeah.
But we decided this time to cut it down to what it was. Otherwise, it sort of takes over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have room for anything else. You know, we've got six-figure guitars, but we've also got a teapot from Yorkshire Tea.
I love that.
Which, you know, Noel has signed as a promotion.
Yeah.
Apparently, he loves his Yorkshire Tea.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him a few boxes and asked him to sign a few teapots. So that is entry level, and that is that's in at that bid is starting at 300.
Yeah,
and that's that's as just as unique, probably, as one of the guitars.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just not many around, and it's the fun factor, which I love with any group.
It is
the quirky and the
the
fun. I mean, I don't think you'll be able to see it today, but we've got Nolf's golf cart.
I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Just fantastic. Because Nolf used to live 10 minutes from here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Just up the road, Nightingale's Lane is Chalmers and Giles, and Nolf bought the Sheeling, where he lived with, I think, Meg Matthews to start with, and Meg bought him the golf cart to run around the estate on. Well, the golf cart is, I will show it to you later, it's done up in the same psychedelic livery as John Lennon's Rolls-Royce.
Rolls-Royce, yeah.
And she, you know, there's things on there, Nebworth VIP, there's from Meg to Nolf, etc. And, you know, you'd never know, or one of the things to come to light from it was the number plate is Jedi One. It's not a real number plate, but no, I never knew Nolf.
Yeah, big Star Wars fan.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that was new to me, whereby you do learn stuff all the time that, why on earth did you get him this number plate for? And it's because he loves Star Wars.
Wow, that is amazing, isn't it? But I love that. I love the fact he always, because he was always such a fan himself, that, you know, so he buys his house, he calls it Supernova Heights.
Yeah.
You know, they get the golf cart, let's psychedelic it up, you know? I just love that.
But it is really cool. It's I think that could be one of the standout items in the auction. It's entry level at 5,000. We say entry level, but it is so cool, and it's used. It works.
Yeah,
yeah. Meg had it de-restricted, and it put your foot on that, and you absolutely together we will fly, Kyle. You absolutely zoom off on it. And you mentioned handwritten lyrics.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. I wanted to focus on this one for some of the lesser known tracks, mm-hmm. because for me they're very interesting.
Mm.
In of all the handwritten lyrics we've had in, we had these for the master plan.
Yep.
And this is the only time I've ever seen lyrics that are not written on either plain white paper or lined paper, various sizes, A4, A3, etc. And this is actually from the Japanese hotel where they were staying. And he's written the master plan lyrics on there. Now, all of our lyrics are checked in-house and then they're checked by a recognised third party, in this case Gary King in the UK.
Okay.
So but the provenance of this from where it comes from is unquestionable anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's the only time I've seen lyrics which aren't...
Yeah, because he would always have a notebook with him. There was that famous notebook that he had that sold
that he threw
for
away. Or the one that he threw away. And as I say, I think this is... this is going in at starting at 1500s, and I do think that's going to be very popular simply because it is a true one off in terms of the handwritten lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And even the fact it's got a big rip on in the corner. I love that. He's obviously pulled that out to then scribble someone's phone number down or something, isn't he? It's that tangible, like, you know, that it was there from the time. Because if someone was trying to do a dodgy fake lyrics, they're not going to rip a bit off, are they? So
you're really not. And this is not, again, we do try to, or I try to focus on the rarer stuff.
Yeah.
And this is possibly one of only four, definitely maybe, demo albums that was given to Owen Morris for his approval. And when Owen Morris saw it, he said, look, I don't want a single album. It's what we've got here. We've got content which I want to be. This is a double album.
Yeah.
So they obviously went back and did the double album.
Wow.
And that's what that is. So this is... We've spoken to a couple of people, and Kyle, and we believe this is only one of four.
Amazing.
In existence that was ever given out. There had been, I think Owen Morris actually got sent two, and there was one for the record label and one for the group. So, which is why we do think that there was only four.
Four in existence.
Four in existence.
What's that starting out to?
That's 3,000.
3,000.
For definitely maybe.
Darling, we're not going holiday this year.
This is one of my favourite things. It's a demo tape. But this was personally given to the consigner by Noel.
Yeah.
And the demo tape, obviously, it's all been verified. It's Noel's handwriting. And it does contain Diggs's Dinner, Live Forever, Up in the Sky, Shaker Maker, Columbia, and Married with Children. Now, what makes this demo tape really nice is the fact that it comes with a handwritten letter from Noel.
Yeah.
And in it, Noel has written, "Dear, here are six..." He actually sent six demos because the consigner worked for a promotions company, a record marketing company, which wasn't Creation. Okay. She actually... The meeting came about when she'd gone with one of the PR people from Creation, who was her friend, to see a band, Whiteout, who were performing at the Falcon in Camden, because they were interested in signing Whiteout out to be like an opening act on one of the tours. So anyway, whilst they spent quite a bit of time in the Falcon, and then sort of at the end of the evening, Liam, Noel, everybody like all filed in because they'd been performing at the Powerhouse in Islington.
Okay, so this is like Oasis' first London gig, Powerhouse.
Yeah,
okay,
it was. They were performing at the Powerhouse in Islington.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all turned up at the Falcon pub.
Ah, right.
And so our consigner hit it off with Noel. And obviously, because who she worked for, he said, "Oh, I'll send you some demos." And this is the little note.
I love it. "Here are six demos of my band. I'm afraid the tape isn't very good quality, but hope you like it. Saying that, you're into dance music, so you'll probably listen to it once and then bin it.
Yeah.
Anyway, take care. Hope to see you soon. Love, Noel."
Yeah.
Well, I bet she's pleased she didn't bin it.
It was weird. It was, you know, as she said, we did, again, it ties into the golf buggy, because we did Good Morning Britain a few weeks ago, whereby we took the golf buggy in and a few other Oasis bits. And she was actually sitting down watching the show.
Really?
And then she thought, "Do you know, I've got that tape and that letter from Noel." And when I came back that Friday, there was a message to give her a ring.
Fantastic.
And she said, "I've got this, would it be of interest?" So we just managed to get it in. Well, the deadline was passed, but I really did like... I think, again, asking around some of the Oasis community, no one's ever seen a demo tape with a letter.
With a letter.
With a letter from
Noel.
I'm
not aware of one.
And so, again, we do think it's pretty unique.
Mm.
And it's just the whole story that goes with it. And that's the thing, that the stories are the hook which gets... Yeah. People in, and it's almost like a personal attachment to it.
Yeah.
So I'm absolutely super pleased to be able
That's
to
beautiful.
Bring this. And this starts at 5,000, and I do think it's just brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
That's fantastic. Great, wonderful. All right, should we have a quick look at these last couple of bits over here then?
Yeah. This is the case for Silver Sparkle.
Okay. So you get the Silver Sparkle.
Actually, I will show you it because it is pretty cool on the inside. And it's not like a normal guitar case.
Okay. Look at that. Wow.
Why My Guitar Gently Sleeps.
That is beautiful, isn't it?
But it is just, it's, you know, I want the best guitar in the world to be looked after in the best way possible.
So has he gone and got that custom made then?
The whole package, pink interior. The case, the guitar, was literally all done to Noel's spec.
And he said, I want it to be like pink purple fluff inside.
Yeah, probably there'd be more knowledgeable collectors than I am be able to explain why he went with that. But the whole package was done to Noel spec.
Probably because he's drunk, I'd imagine. What would you like on the inside? Oh, pink fluff.
But I'd imagine that you don't hear stories of them having massive riders and stamping their feet and saying, oh, I want you pick out all the white Cocoa Pops want these ones and stuff. But you would imagine that it could have even been a throwaway line.
Yeah.
It could have even been something when he's talking to Gibson, oh, while you're at it, I want pink fur on the inside of the case.
Yeah.
And almost say as a joke, as a thing. And of course, he's come back and he's like it. And it's.
That is brilliant.
As I say, I think the case is. When it's displayed with the guitar, they look really cool.
Yeah, that is a great sort of combination, isn't it?
They look really, really cool. It's in many ways, it's what you want a rock star to be.
Mm.
It is that little layer of extravagance.
Yeah.
It is, you know, I'm a rock star, so I can do this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have a pink fur lined. Love that. And what about this acoustic one here then? This Taylor.
This is a 12-string Taylor. Again, part of the Noel Gallagher guitar collection. This has been, again, signed on the back of the headstock.
Yeah.
It's a different type of guitar to what, you know, we've been showing you earlier, in as much as it's an electric acoustic.
Okay.
It is. And it's got a different sound. I think it goes to show Noel's versatility.
Yeah.
And as I say, it is part of the Noel Gallagher guitar collection and should do very well in the auction because it is different. The start figure on Noel's 12-string Taylor acoustic is 15,000.
Well, look, Mark, so absolutely, so what a pleasure. What an absolute pleasure to be here today.
It's brilliant. I look forward to seeing you again at
Together
We'll Fly. So you're only doing the Friday?
Well, I'm going to be there on the Friday. I've been talking to Kyle about, I think I might try and interview, because he's got Jess Greenfield with him from Noel's band. So I'm going to try and maybe do an interview with Jess, because he keeps getting this guy, John Robb, to do the interviews. Never heard of him anyway. I suppose he's got some Oasis connections, but rather than some geezer from Oxfordshire. But so John Robb's doing a lot of the interviews, and then I'll be there to do, be there for the Friday night for the party. I'll be there doing walking around, getting some people.
Come over and say hello, because we'll have, obviously, we're taking quite a bit of stuff with us.
Sure.
Because obviously Prop Store are sponsoring the event, so really, really looking forward to that. I must say, I did enjoy Salford. Really enjoyed Salford Lads Club. It was fantastic. It was a really... I didn't know what to expect, if I'm being honest, but it was such a slick event. Carl put on a really, really professional, strong event, and it was... The fans were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was... Again, it's a shame... which is why I think this London event might be a bit different, because a reunion's been announced. You know, then everybody was saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if they got back together, and do you think they'll get back together? I'd love to see them one more time. And they've done it.
Now it's happening.
And now it's happening. So I'd imagine London's going to be really buoyant and bubbly in terms of the fans coming there to have a look. Because I think Salford was a great place to start, because obviously Manchester. But I think London could eclipse it.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, he's put on a great show.
It's just a huge fan base. Yeah. I mean, as I say, one of the questions Tamer and Niddy said earlier, that we've had press all week. And I have, literally, we've been inundated with press before the launch of the catalogue next Tuesday. And one of the popular questions is, where do you see Oasis memorabilia in 15, 20 years' time?
Mm.
And I honestly think that they could possibly eclipse the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because it is the way they're going. It is, I think there's a longevity about them that no other band has got.
Well, it's the age of people as well, isn't it? So I'm, you know, I'm a, obviously, like, I was 14 when Definitely Maybe came out. I'm 44 now. The people that have got the money in the bank to get this stuff tend to be people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, right? So as more people get into that range of, like, you know, that they grew up with Oasis, now they've got a few quid, actually, they're the people that will go out. So I think that's why maybe the Beatles side was the biggest, you know, but now I think, Oasis probably will take over it.
I think, as I say, that's been a genuine answer for me.
Yeah.
In as much as I can see them eclipsing in terms of memorabilia.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they will be up there and exceed what some of the Beatles stuff is going for in terms of what it is. Because also it's rarer.
Yeah.
Because of Oasis really were at the start of what I'd like to call the social media age.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you took away Noel's handwritten lyrics, you know, you've got the posters, you've got the guitars, you've got some of the clothes that Liam wore and the tambourines. There's very little actual physical memorabilia that they've written or that they've done. Teapot's a good example. It is so rare, and so is some of the signed stuff we've got from them. But it's not an awful lot because they started this whole... They started when social media really started. And now, certainly, you see it. People would rather get a selfie.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think, you know, years ago, Beatles, Stones, Hendrix, etc., you'd want to get an autograph.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's all about getting a selfie. So
that's a good point.
That's something that is more personal that you can't sell on.
Mm.
And I think you do, as I say, if I took out the examples I gave to you of what it is, there's not that much true public memorabilia that is actually out there for Oasis. And that's why I do see some of the signed stuff, some of the unique bits, could see spectacular rises because it is so rare.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's absolutely brilliant. Well, Mark, look, thank you so much. Just tell us again when this goes live.
The music auction is the second day of what we call our Entertainment's Memorabilia Live Auction, and that's November the 15th at BAFTA, which is 195 Piccadilly. The auction starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
The doors open at 1 o'clock, and we're actually going to be having a special one-off performance by Dr. Fink of Prince and the Revolution.
Oh, wow.
So Dr. Fink is going to be there playing a keyboard, so a few... you'll recognise a few of the riffs, and he's going to be answering a few questions.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, November the 15th at BAFTA.
And then is that one of those as well where you can log in live and do it as well if you're...
It's a live auction. The catalogue, bidding for the catalogue actually goes live next Tuesday, which is the 15th of October.
Yeah.
So there's approximately a four-week lead-up when you can bid online. You can also email in your commission bids. You can book a phone bid for on the day. If you're serious and you can get there, get down to BAFTA on the 15th, Friday. It'll be really, really good fun.
That sounds really exciting.
It's just under 400 lots. You haven't got to stay for all of it. If it's the Oasis section is about halfway through. We've got some amazing lots that have content that has never come to auction before.
Yeah.
In terms of... I said to you earlier that we like to think we're an Oasis specialist.
Yeah, yeah.
But this year, I think you will see that we're very, very quickly becoming the go-to auction house for Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
We've got incredible pieces in for Michael Jackson that have never come to auction before. Pieces from the Grammy Museum, personal collections that are instantly recognisable. We've got Dr. Fink, formerly of Prince and the Revolution, who was with Prince right from the start. In fact, we've got his very, very first flight suit that he wore, that Prince picked out for him. Wow. It's funny where you compare these great bands, but, you know, Noel was very much a controlling factor with Oasis.
Yeah.
Prince was very much a controlling factor with the Revolution, picking what they wore, what they played, etc.
Amazing.
And he actually handed Matt, Dr. Fink, his flight suit, said, "I want you to wear this." And we've got, and this was the very, very first time Prince performed live.
Wow.
Ever. So incredible. We've got Matt's outfit from that. Again, that's going to be coming into auction. And again, if you're there on the 15th, you can ask Matt all these questions. And say with his collection, we've got a Jimi Hendrix collection from a lady called Trixie Sullivan, well, Patricia to give her a real name. That is an archive which spans 1965 to 1973. And Trixie was Mike Jeffries' personal assistant. Mike Jeffrey was Hendrix's manager.
Okay.
This encompasses all of Hendrix's time in London during that period, which includes paperwork and master tapes. And on one of those master tapes is four unreleased Jimi Hendrix demo tracks.
No way.
So please, that as I say, I've picked four highlights from the auction, and I've not even mentioned John Lennon's first ever amp with the Beatles.
Okay.
So it is really, really going to be special.
Wow, very exciting.
Really special.
Very exciting.
So, again, if you're an Oasis fan, please come along. If you're a fan of music and music memorabilia, please come along. We will have something for everyone.
Brilliant. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, look, Mark, thank you so much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
All right, there we go. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Really great to meet Mark and the team up there. Fantastic people. So make sure if you can come along to Kyle's exhibition on the 18th, then please do. It'd be great to see you there. I say it's 18th, 19th and 20th, but I'll be there on the 18th. So that's the important day. It's at the Cumberland Hotel, Great Cumberland Place, Marble Arch in London. So yeah, very, very exciting. Really looking forward to being there. And yeah, and then you can see all the stuff. And then, yeah, and then you can hear about the auction. I think the auction goes live in November, but I know we talk about it in the episode. So, and I'll put the link on the in the description of this episode. So, so yeah, really, really excited. Hope that, I might just have to remortgage the house and buy myself a Noel Gallagher guitar. All right, what else have we got going on then? So, this was interesting. So our friend Jim Salverson, a former guest of the podcast, and if you remember, we actually went to uni together, and I had no idea. I don't think we would have been in the same room, definitely, but I don't think we ever met. Or we just completely forgot each other, but some Men in Black stuff going on there. But anyway, he's, as we know, he's now a host on XS Manchester, and he had Tom from The Enemy in. And he asked him about Oasis, and he's, it was a good little interview. It's also going to be a podcast. I know his Long Player series is really good, which sort of digs into albums. Really good stuff. So check this out. A little clip of Tom from The Enemy with our pal Jim.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Enemy, we live and die in these towns on XS Manchester. I'm Jim, this is XS Drive. I'm joined by Tom from The Enemy, who we were talking new music a little while ago and being back out on the road. And I want to stick on the topic of live music for just a moment, because I'm sure the Oasis reunion has not escaped your notice, Tom. And you were on the bill for those 2009 gigs, the final gigs that Oasis ever played before it all imploded. When you were backstage hanging out and talking to the Gallaghers and talking to the other people, did you notice a tension? Did you get an idea that was almost it, that it was about to go south very quickly?
I don't know. I felt tense. I don't know if that's because the atmosphere of the tour was tense. I just felt terrified for that whole tour, because I queued up to buy Oasis albums from HMV, and we were sharing a stage with them, and they're the big one for our generation. You know, I know for previous generations it's the Beatles or the Stones. For our generation, it was Oasis, and we were there in that world. And to be honest, I was just trying to process it and keep up with it. So I felt mega anxious and mega tense. And so my overriding memory of that tour was it's mega tense. But I don't know if that was the atmosphere of the tour or if it was me projecting that onto the tour. I just know that even today, I think that lineup, Oasis, The Enemy, Kasabian, Reverend and the Makers, I think those might have been the greatest indie gigs that ever happened.
They were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. And then, do you know what? I think Oasis were probably the fourth best act on that bill on the night.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I feel like everyone brought their A game, and it was just, those gigs were special. And, you know, I think every generation has those gigs that you look back on and go, yeah, that was the gig, or that was the tour. I think for a lot of our fans and Rev's fans and Kasabian and probably Oasis, I think those particular gigs are going to be looked back on really fondly as maybe some of the best.
There's been a few calls from fans that maybe that lineup could or should be recreated in the summer of 2025. Have you had the call yet? Has Noel been on the phone? And if he did, would you snap his hand off to relive that?
I'd love it. I'd be there straight away. When I saw they were getting back together, I felt really happy because they are, you know, they're the band of my childhood. And I also immediately felt really gutted because I knew we wouldn't be on it because we were on, you know, some of the last shows. And I was like, oh man, we're not going to be on those shows, but I'd love to. 100%, if Oasis gave us the call, we would be there at the drop of a hat.
Get on it, Noel. Get on it, Liam. Get Tom on the speed dial. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, really good stuff there. I really like the fact that, you know, Tom is clearly a fan. He's clearly loves Oasis. Yeah, if you think he's the right age, he's that generation. He is the Oasis generation. They were obviously a massive influence on them. And yeah, I would love to talk to him, actually. I have messaged him before, but I don't think he's that bothered about doing media, really, unless he really has to. So yeah, I'd love to like dig into Oasis with him, hear him talk about different Oasis songs and stuff. I'm sure it'd be really good, but we shall see. We shall see. Maybe we'll grab him one day. But yeah, if you did want to hear a bit more from him, then definitely go and check out that interview on XS Manchester on the Long Player podcast. I'll hit a link in the description. Oh, and finally, the other day, when it all went mad with all that media stuff, I think I've dropped a few clips over here on the pod. I did a day on the 3rd of September is when all the dynamic pricing stuff was kicking off. I was contacted by BBC because I'd done the Jeremy Vine, I'd done Five Live, I'd done BBC London, and they said, oh, can you come and do like just do the rounds on BBC local radio, like literally one after the other from like 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. So I said, yeah, that's for, you know, okay, great. So I did that, which was really good fun. But because it's like local radio, it's not like on BBC Sounds or whatever. I don't know how you can actually get it. And so anyway, I messaged them the other day, and and I got them to send me over one. So anyway, here's a clip of me on BBC local radio. I'm only going to drop a little clip in here, but if you want to check out my Patreon, then obviously I've uploaded the whole clip over on Patreon. So do go and check that out.
This isn't an airline. This isn't tickets to go on holiday on a plane. These are fans of a band. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Or do we just have to accept that this is the world we live in? We live in a capitalist society which is driven by the rules of supply and demand. James Corcoran is an Oasis superfan. He's host of the Oasis podcast. And delighted, I can say, joined us by a FaceTime link this morning. Hi, James.
Hi, Phil.
Thanks for coming on this morning. I hear you're one of the lucky ones. You've actually got a ticket, is that right?
I did, yeah. I'm very lucky. I don't want to make too big a fuss about it in case I might get mugged in the street for them. But well, yeah, I did get them on Friday for the for Cardiff first night.
Isn't it a shame that you've got to come on and say that? Oh, I don't want to make a fuss about it, because this is a moment of celebration, isn't it? Oh, I've got a ticket. I'm going. And instead you have to try to, you know, well, almost hide the fact that you've got a ticket because of the backlash about this.
Exactly. Because I did an episode of the Oasis podcast we recorded, but a few of us, oh, we got our tickets. We were so excited. and uploaded it. But then the next day was obviously the Saturday when everyone had the absolute nightmare of sitting on, staring at Ticketmaster for hours and hours and hours. And I sort of put a trigger warning, guys, I'm really sorry. You might want to skip this one because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, it might be a bit difficult listening. But no, but I went through that as well. I then tried again on Saturday to try and get tickets, and it was an absolute nightmare. You know, eight yeah. hours sitting, staring at Ticketmaster, and then finally got through. I mean, I was okay with it. I wasn't okay with it, don't get me wrong, but I was willing to pay the inflated prices. But then I pressed the button and got kicked out. So, really? You know, so I think a lot of people had that experience as well. Complete waste of time.
The one sort of bit of news, I suppose, like, you know, news-wise, everything's sort of obviously still going on. Oasis is selling out everywhere in the world. You know, they put more tickets on sale in Australia. They've all sold out. So, yeah. So I think we're up to what? We're now up to 32 stadium shows and they've all sold out. So that is incredible. Not sure what will be announced next. Are they going to announce some more? We shall see. But I suppose the one interesting sort of thing that sort of popped up in the Oasis world yesterday was the fact that on Saturday Night Live, the American TV show, they did this sort of Oasis parody on their Weekend Update segment. And this was dreadful. You know, I've done these sort of, I've done episodes on Oasis parodies. And, you know, we sort of look back at these at the time and just go, oh, they were so bad. Well, this is just as bad. I'm going to inflict it on you. So not all of it, but yeah, I'll drop in a bit here. So do feel free to skip if you can't take this. But yeah, here's the SNL Oasis parody.
Tickets for the North American leg of the long-awaited Oasis reunion tour are on sale, which is surprising to some as the band has famously been feuding for decades. Here to comment are brothers Noel and Liam Gallagher.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Now, everyone's wondering, are you guys going to be cool to tour a year from now?
I'm cool. He's cool.
I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cooler than you are.
Oh, stop it.
Great, so that's a no.
It's not a hard no, it's a maybe.
We said maybe. If Liam doesn't act like a baby.
What? I'm not a baby, you're a baby.
Yeah, you're a baby. You're a baby. Oh, he stuck his tongue out at me. Colin, did you see that?
Colin!
Stuck his tongue out at me,
Colin. Colin, he's been naughty. He's been naughty, Colin.
He's been naughty.
Guys, you're fighting. You're 50 years old. You're fighting like a couple of little kids, okay? There must be something that you both agree on.
I guess there are a few things, yeah. SpongeBob.
Legend. Who's the best Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Donatello.
Legend. And who's the best Rugrat? 1, 2, 3.
Tommy Pickles. Legend.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yeah, so pretty bad, right? So I think the key things for me here is, number one, the accents are completely off. Like, you're just doing like London accents. Like, that's not how Oasis talk. Oasis aren't from London. They're from Manchester. They're very famously from Manchester, which has got a completely different accent to London. So that, to me, it would be like if someone was going to do like a Dolly, say if a British comedian did a Dolly Parton impression and gave them a New York accent, right? That's not their accent. You know, and a British comedian, I think, would take the time to listen and understand what the accent should be. So that's number one. Number two is like the whole, oh, the one thing they bond over is these like 90s and 2000s cartoons. No, that wouldn't be what they would bond over. Like, if they were going to bond over like cartoons, it would be like British TV and cartoons. It would be like The Wombles or Bagpuss. You know, this is, you know, Trumpton. This is what like the Oasis boys would be bonding over, not like SpongeBob and the Ninja Turtles. Like, you know, they, by the time Ninja Turtles were out, they were well into their 20s. So, you know, come on. But anyway, that's minor point. The one thing they did, actually, especially the Noel, they got the haircut right, they got the look right. So, but that even annoys me more because it's like, obviously, the people doing the makeup and the clothes and stuff nailed it. They tried their best. They actually did the research. The actors, and I didn't even look up the names. I'm not even going to give them their names. Like, they obviously couldn't be bothered to parody them and to actually, like, sound like them. And, you know, it's just the lowest common denominator stuff, like it always is. You know, like, oh, two brothers fighting and stuff. Like, you know, the frustrating thing is there's so much rich comedy that you can get from these guys. Like, there's, I mean, like, Nico Tatarovitz is the king of this. Like, we've dropped in his stuff before when we interviewed him. Yeah. And it just shows that there's so much you can do with an Oasis parody that can be really funny and really clever. But they're just like two Londoners fighting, which just makes no sense. But anyway, there we go. I'm not actually bothered. It's not like I'm cross about it. I just think, like, what a complete waste of time. And just, like, do your research, you know, actually learn the thing. If you're going to parody it, if you're going to put it on TV, actually make it good. All right, that will do it, I believe. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post bonus episodes. We post the episodes early. You can get access to the Discord, which is where I sort of bounce ideas off of and sort of give people the opportunity to get involved in episodes. That tends to be, if you support me on Patreon, if you're around on the Discord, then that's really the way to get involved in episodes. I say it's $1 per month, or you can go in 3, 5, or whatever you want to give, whatever you're comfortable with. But as I say, I don't do any sort of messing around with tiers. If you want to support me from like $1 a month, you can join the Discord. You can get involved in the conversation. And yeah, next time there's sort of a phone-in episode, or if you've got an idea for an episode, you know, who do you think I'm going to go to? Some random person that's emailed me, or someone that's actually, you know, supporting me, even if it's $1 a month, that is absolutely fine. All right, enough of the pitch. You can email oasispod@gmail.com. You can follow on Twitter at Oasis Podcast. Make sure you're checking out the Instagram as well at Oasis Pod, because there's going to be interesting stuff from the prop store interview going up on there. So definitely check that out. And YouTube as well. Make sure you're checking out the YouTube. Loads of good stuff coming over there. All right, that will do it for today. The next time, like I said, we are going to be in Friday, 18th of October, Cumberland Hotel in London at the Together We'll Fly exhibition. Get down there if you can. You could be on the next episode of the Oasis Podcast. How cool is that? All right, that will do it. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.